Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and thank you for joining me on this Wednesday, March the 3rd, 2010. The Private Officer Radio Network is live on the air one more time. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We're glad that you're here, and as we always say, we're glad to be with you. You're listening to the Private Officer Radio Network live today, and you can catch us every Wednesday and Sunday at this hour, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Central Time. I'm Rick McCann, your host, founder and executive director of Private Officer International. Well, it's kind of a cool, cloudy, yucky day where I am here. We had another round of snow here in Georgia and the Carolinas yesterday. Very unusual weather for the southeastern part of the country. We only get maybe a few flurries every couple of years, but this year, 2009-2010, the winter has been horrendous for us anyways. We've had snow after snow after snowstorm, and we're not talking about a couple of inches. We've had a number of storms that have dumped 6, 7, 8 inches. But that is almost over with, as I can see the flowers beginning to pop their heads out of the ground. Birds are singing, and so the spring is on the way. Well, as you know, we're not here to talk about the weather. We are here to talk about security police news, and we have a lot going on this week, just like always. Let me also reiterate something that I said on Sunday's delayed show. We had some technical difficulties while we were recording our show on Sunday, as does happen sometimes, folks, when you're doing a live show, whether it be TV or radio, things happen. I'm not exactly sure what it was that happened, but somehow, some way, somewhere, something interrupted our show midway through, and we were muted out. Some of the show did not get properly recorded. So we went back in and re-recorded the show late Sunday evening, and the show became a podcast. It became an on-demand show rather than a live show, and I apologize for that. I've worked a little bit around TV stations and the radio stations, and I know sometimes things can happen that you have no explanation for, and this is one of those things. I just don't know what happened. And again, I apologize for those technical difficulties. I hope that you listened to the on-demand version and enjoyed the show. Well, this week, we have a lot of breaking news today, and this week we have a lot of things going on. If you'd like to send us an email while we're on the air, please feel free to do so at radio@privateofficer.com. Again, that's radio@privateofficer.com. In fact, for those of you who will email me today at radio@privateofficer.com, I will send you out a little goodies bag with some nice little items in there for you, about a $15 or $20 value. So send me an email, even if you are listening to this after the live show is over, and you happen to click on the on-demand version, feel free to send us an email, and we'll get you out some nice little gifts to say thank you for listening. Today, in the breaking news segment of the show, this is coming out of Memphis, Tennessee. Again, I hate to keep on picking on Memphis, but this is kind of a good thing here. Late Monday night, we got word that an arrest had been made in the murder of mall security officer Marquise Rainey. And we did not release that information until yesterday, when we could confirm that an arrest was made and that the person's identity had been made known by authorities. And so we're glad to report to you today that 20-year-old Terrell Loverson of Memphis, Tennessee, has been arrested for capital murder in the state of Tennessee, as in all states, means that the death penalty is possible. We don't wish that on anyone, but if that is the court's decision, then so be it. 20-year-old Terrell Leverson evidently was involved in a scuffle with another person at the Southland Mall on Saturday. That would be this past Saturday, when security officer Rainey tried to break them up. According to police, Leverson pulled a semi-automatic weapon. I'm not sure if it was a 9mm, a 40 caliber, or a 45 caliber. The media release did not say. But he shot Marquise in the chest and then fled. I said on my last program on Sunday that I hoped and prayed that the Memphis authorities, both the Memphis police and Shelby County Sheriff's Office and the U.S. Marshals Task Force would combine their efforts and expedite the arrest and apprehension of the suspect. And I'm so glad today to report to you that they have. And I hope that this person goes through the justice system. And if he is indeed the person responsible for this horrendous, senseless crime, murder, that he gets the justice that he deserves. I was thinking when this was all unfolding, I don't know if you're a fan of the A&E program, the Knicks 48 Hours, 48 Hours, the crime drama that follows homicide detectives around. They often have the Memphis Police Homicide Squad on their show, and I was thinking, well, there's a lot of details still missing here, and it would be interesting if the Knicks 48 Hours had been actually shooting live this past weekend in Memphis. I'd like to see the footage. But if not, that's okay too. Also, here, breaking news. This is something that came across our desk this morning early. A very heroic security officer at an apartment complex in West Mifflin, Pennsylvania. That is in Allegheny County, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania area. Is being called a hero today after an apartment fire early this morning at 2 a.m. at the Mondview Heights complex on Midway Drive. Police Chief Ken Davies, who is in charge of the West Mifflin Police Department, said that Security Officer Rod Lavelle responded to the apartment fire, and he is responsible for rescuing three children, ages 13, 11, and 6. Two of them jumped from the apartment building, and he caught them. Security Officer Lavelle, according to the article I read, suffered minor injuries, and he was taken to a hospital for treatment. The mother and the children involved in that fire were not injured, all thanks to this private security guard, Rod Lavelle. So if you live in the West Mifflin area, if you live in the Pittsburgh area, reach out and give the thumbs up. Congratulations to Security Officer Lavelle, as we will do shortly. One other note that I failed to mention while I was talking about the apprehension in Memphis, just before the police community announced their arrest of Terrell Leverson, Chantrice Rainey, the wife of Officer Rainey, spoke out on Monday before knowing that an arrest was imminent. And she told of the loving relationship that they had, and they'd only been married a short time, and he had aspirations of joining the police department. He was a good guy by all accounts. Everything that I've heard, not only from his coworkers, from news reports, police reports, and the community at large, Terrell Lovers, Marquise Rainey was an outstanding person. His heart and efforts were in the right place. If you live in the Memphis, Tennessee area, if you live in Little Rock, Arkansas, if you live in the Memphis community, maybe you live across the river in Mississippi, reach out to this young lady, Chantrice Rainey. Reach out to the family and offer your condolences. You know, last week I spoke about the memorial fund that we have, and I'll go into that in detail again later in this program. But it won't take any money. It won't take any of your finances. It'll only take a little bit of your time If you could be an ambassador for private officer, if you could be a representative of private security and attend the funeral, I believe it's going to be on Friday, you can check the Memphis Commercial Appeal newspaper and they'll have the details. We are trying to reach Chantrese Rainey, and we have some contacts out there trying to make connection with her. If you're familiar with her, if you're familiar with the Southland Mall people who have set up a fund in the name of Marquise, they have been raising money, I believe, for the family, which is great that they are doing this. Reach out and try to be there for them during this sad, sad situation. We're too far away personally and have other commitments to be able to personally attend, but we ask if you would, and keep us advised. Email us and let us know that you did that, and we will keep you advised when and if we can contact the wife of Officer Rainey. Well, as you know, we're still dealing with the Haiti and Chile situation. We still have a lot of people on the ground there. In fact, this afternoon, early afternoon, the news reported that there was some aftershocks. Another tsunami warning has been issued. So keep them in your prayers and thoughts, because there are a lot of U.S. citizens on the ground there as well. Doctors, nurses, security, chaplains, you name it. A lot of people have gone to help them. And so keep them in mind. I also mentioned in the last program that it's been kind of one of those weird weather years. There's been a lot of floods, mudslides, blizzards, tsunamis now, you name it, earthquakes. A lot of things have happened. If you're interested in getting involved in the response to disasters, you can email us at adminassist@privateofficer.com. We do have a ready force standby and a rapid response team that we coordinate with other agencies when disasters happen here locally. We want to get more involved in this. We're coming up into the tornado season. Tornado season begins, I believe it's about mid-March. So if you're interested, send us an email letting us know at adminassist@privateofficer.com, and we will be sure to include you in on the details and keep you up to speed as to what's going on. Looking at our emails that we received in the last couple of days after our last show, I'll share a few of those with you. From Simpson, Kentucky, which I believe is just not too far from Nashville, just over the Kentucky-Tennessee border. Ted wrote, "Private officer is a godsend. Great benefits for members, great information and networking. Training page looks awesome and can't wait to take some." Thank you for that email, Ted, and we are looking forward to being able to share all of our training with you and to provide you with the best benefits, services, and products offered by any security association worldwide. An email from Pastor Jay. Pastor Jay wrote, "Great church security team training online. We're taking it now, and we are so glad that we found the private officer site." Well, Pastor Jay, we're glad that you did too. And the church security training that's offered online and on demand is a very exceptional type training, and it is something that is going to help the security team at your church, at your place of worship, to not only be prepared for what might happen, but to be able to respond appropriately, to be able to protect themselves, the parishioners, and those around, as well as to shield the church from liability aspects, which is really a definite concern when dealing with security, when dealing with churches, businesses. You know, the bottom line, folks, is that these businesses and churches, they have to look at the litigation possibilities. And the more training that your staff has, the less liability that you're going to have, even if you do have a situation where you're taken to court. And we're going to go into that in another program about liabilities. But thank you, Pastor Jay, for writing. Eugene Brown. Eugene Brown wrote in from Memphis. I guess he caught one of our news articles or maybe he listened to the show. He said he was not aware of such a great organization. He's interested in the chapters being set up in his area. And we're glad that you are, and we're glad that you wrote in, Eugene, and we have been in touch with you, I understand, here. And as soon as our chapters are open there in Memphis, we will be glad to invite you out. Stay in touch with us. We've had a UK, United Kingdom, sent us an email also saying, we're glad that we have become a member. We've used your discount auto cards while on vacation. Well, I've heard that from several people now in the UK and Australia. So our discount auto cards for Hertz Rental, Avis, and the other ones that we use, it's good to see that they accept those worldwide. We're glad today to be back on the radio after a long absence. We've had several formats that we've used, but this seems to be the best because we can reach out worldwide, and we do have a great network of associates, members, and friends throughout the world, and that's growing every day. And so this seems to be the best avenue to reach those friends and associates and members. And so you can catch us every week. We'll be here Sunday and Wednesday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're listening to us and you'd like to send us an email right now, you may do that by simply writing to radio@privateofficer.com. Radio@privateofficer.com. A couple of news items here. This is kind of a funny situation. A jail guard, and I'm not sure if he was a sworn deputy or if he was a security officer, but a jail guard in Adair County, Kentucky, found himself locked into a cell, evidently while he was making rounds, checking different things. He somehow got locked into a cell. He is claustrophobic, according to the news article, and freaked out. He was armed, and he took his weapon and began to fire it at the lock, I guess, on the jail cell to try to get out. And luckily, he did not get injured or killed because bullets do ricochet. Bullets can quickly find their way back to you. And it would have been easy for him to have some shrapnel. But luckily, a maintenance person heard the commotion, heard the gunshots, and ran downstairs and was able to come to the rescue of this person and get him out before he did damage to himself. Evidently, he did do a little damage to the jail cell, which the sheriff says he has agreed to pay for. Well, that was kind of big of him, if you know what I mean. The security officer has been terminated by the sheriff's department. Also coming out of Harlan County, Kentucky, which Harlan is in the eastern portion of the state, a rural area. Two security officers over the weekend working at a mine was robbed at gunpoint while on duty. They were tied up. One of their vehicles was stolen, and they were left to their own resources. They did eventually escape from being tied up and contact the authorities. No one has been arrested. They were only slightly injured, but I'm sure that was a very scary situation. Very scary. And it's good to hear that they weren't injured. Indianapolis, very unique story. Mall security at a regional mall discovered a man walking around the mall with a covert shoe camera. The camera, and it must have been a very small peephole type camera, was inserted in the man's shoe in the toe section, and he was taking pictures of women under their dresses and following children. He had the controls for the camera in his pocket. Police say that security officers arrested David Delgrange, 40, of Fort Wayne, Indiana. He resisted their arrest and had to be tasered and taken down. Kudos to mall security for the observation. Kudos to them for the arrest. Great job, guys. A lot of people don't understand and realize just how much activity really happens at the mall. And it's a lot more than just a little bit of shoplifting now and then. And we're going to have a show coming up in the next few weeks about mall security, and you won't want to miss that. Also, in Oklahoma City, at the Oklahoma Community College, evidently security got an email alert about a possible trouble, possible armed persons. And while searching a library, a security officer dropped his gun. It fired, causing chaos throughout the campus. There was no other incident, no other armed person on the campus except the security person who accidentally fired his weapon. That's pretty embarrassing, guys, I have to tell you. That's why I stress, if you are carrying a weapon, you really need to carry a quality holster, have a quality holster, and the retention level the highest that you can get. Fresno, California, news article that has made the internet headlines for the last 24 to 48 hours, Mexican gangs, armed Mexican gangs, taking over the forest and U.S. parks. They're setting up large grow areas, marijuana grow areas. They have armed guards, trip wires, and causing a very dangerous situation. So if you are like me and you love the outdoors, you love the parks and the forest, be careful. Thank God that the U.S. legislators and those people in the decision-making area decided just recently to allow weapons in the parks, in the U.S. national parks. Those of us who are not gangsters, are not criminals, have a right to protect ourselves. And you can tell now by this story that it might be a wise decision to be carrying a firearm when you visit those locations. You never know. The story not only indicated Fresno, but it also indicated Wisconsin, New York, and various places throughout the country. This is just not in one area. This is a growing problem. Tuscaloosa, Alabama, I'll end with this story, which I thought was very unique. A mother and father heard some noise while they were getting ready for work upstairs in their daughter's bedroom. The father went upstairs and asked if everything was all right, and their 14-year-old daughter said, "Yes, no problem, Daddy." The father went to work. The mother soon followed out the door to her job. But when she returned later in the day, she again heard the noise. Now, the news article does not say what the noise was. You can use your own imagination on this part. She went up to investigate, and there she discovered Matthew Brandon Rogers, a 28-year-old man from Indiana. And here he was in the bedroom of the 14-year-old daughter in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Well, guess what? Alabama people don't play. They are usually armed. Mama quickly pulled her handgun and held this man at gunpoint while she dialed 911. The man has been arrested on numerous felony charges, and he's under investigation now by the FBI. Hey, to be frank and honest with you, she's lucky. He's lucky that she didn't pull the trigger, because in Alabama, they have a tendency of doing that, as in most of the southern states. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I know if I had been the mother, I probably would have begged the man to do something to try to run away, and he would have suffered the consequences. But, you know, it's amazing what these perverts are going through these days. Someone asked me recently, why do we do so many news stories about teachers and teachers' aides and principals and school officials being involved in student sexual relationships? Well, first of all, it's a growing national trend. It's a problem. It's something that really needs to be addressed. And we hope to make this issue better known soon in another forum, which I'll be telling you about soon. Couple of programming notes. You will not want to miss the Sunday, March 7th program at 4 p.m. Sunday, 4 p.m., we're going to be talking with a survivor of a close quarter shooting incident. The uniformed bank security officer was involved in a close quarter shooting of a bank robber in Dallas, Texas, and he will be on the air live to discuss being prepared, how to defend yourself, and we're going to be talking about breathing patterns. We're going to be talking about mindset. We're going to be talking about how to survive the close quarter shooting. Statistically, it's proven that most law enforcement and security officers die in shootouts within 3 to 6 feet of the suspect. The guy is not waiting across the street with an assault rifle and a scope. You're not going to, in most cases, be ambushed, although it does happen, but in most cases, it's going to be someone that you're going to be trying to arrest, someone that you have detained or stopped, like Officer Rainey at the mall in Memphis, and you're going to be shot at close quarters. It's not going to be from down the street. There are things that you need to know to survive that type of shooting. There are things that you need to do to recognize what's about to happen. And there are things that you need to do to be able to overcome that shooting incident. And we're going to be sharing those things with you Sunday. You will not want to miss this show. Sunday, March the 7th, that's this Sunday coming up, 4 p.m. We're also going to be doing a very special show on Wednesday, March the 10th at 4 p.m. This show will be dedicated totally, solely on one subject, nightclub security. Phil Prater, a ABC agent, will be my guest on that show. Phil is a 27-year veteran, law enforcement veteran, who is in charge of a region for the alcohol beverage control in his state, and he will be talking to you about nightclub security, the dangers, the growing pattern of violence in nightclubs all across the country, both large and small. If you're involved in security in the nightclub environment, whether you're a bouncer, an armed guard, law enforcement, you will not want to miss this show because it will open your eyes to some things that are happening. We're also going to be doing some shows coming up soon about residential security, mall security, hospital security. And we have a great show coming up on March the 17th, March the 17th at 4 p.m. This is a use of force and liability show. We will be discussing in depth when to use force, what kind of force, what's reasonable, what's prudent, and what is excessive force, and the liability, the consequences that follows your decision. It's not easy. Trust me when I tell you this. It's not easy to decide to pull the trigger. That decision will live with you forever. It will never go away. You can talk to any law enforcement or security person who's been involved in a shooting where he had to make a decision to take someone else's life. 30 years from that day, he remembers that second that decision was made. So you will not want to miss the show, March the 17th, 4 p.m., the use of force and liability. Today, we want to talk about, and we're going to open up the phone lines. How old is too old to be a security officer? How old is too old? Is there such an age limit? Is there such a thing as being too old to be in the security business? If you'd like to get involved with this conversation, you can call us right now, live, be on the program at area code 1-347-426-3807. Again, that number is 1-347-426-3807. If you call today and get involved in this conversation, we'll also send you out a free gift pack as well. This is kind of a very frustrating topic because I'm not trying to take anyone's job away from them. I know that, especially in this terrible economy time, people need their job, whether they be 70 years old or 17 years old. But again, this past week, a 75-year-old hospital security officer at Doctors Center at Flowers Hospital in Dothan, Alabama, was beat all to pieces. The man was attacked by I believe the person was probably a drug addict, and the security officer received a broken nose, a broken jaw, a broken orbital bone, and numerous other injuries. And the 75-year-old person just was not prepared to fight off his attacker, even if he had been a retired Marine, even if the man at his age was in the best of health, the best of condition. Still, a 75-year-old person usually is not, physically in the best of health. He's not physically able to fight off a younger person. Just in the last 3 years, I went through very quickly to see how many people over the age of 60 have been killed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 17 security officers have been killed in the last 3 years that were over the age of 65, most in very violent confrontations with suspects. 82-year-old security officer killed during the burglary of construction equipment. 72-year-old Stan Cooper, a retired Las Vegas police officer, was killed this year at the courthouse in Las Vegas during a shooting. I don't think that situation had much to do with his age, but sometimes when you're a little bit older, you're not quite as quick-witted. You're not quite as quick in your response. I'm not sure what happened, and I don't want to second-guess or doubt that experienced officer's response to the situation. He may not have had any time to react. 82-year-old security officer died in a car wreck on the property. 67-year-old security officer in Louisville, Kentucky, died making a trespassing apprehension. He died of a heart attack. 65-year-old Leroy Fisher was killed in Sacramento as he worked nightclub security last year. 78-year-old security officer was killed in Maryland while he was working construction security. A 71-year-old security officer was killed by a fallen gate at the Tyson Chicken Plant. I believe that was in Kentucky last year. 79-year-old died of a heart attack while sitting at a guardhouse. 63-year-old James Muddleman, South Bend, Indiana, was killed in a fight with a nightclub patron who killed the security officer with his bare hands. He literally tore him apart. I'm not saying that security people or security companies should not hire older or the senior citizen, but I am saying that there is a risk factor. They are more likely to be injured on the job, not only by an attacker, but by accidents. I'm sure that there are places we can assign the security officer, the senior security officer, but we should not put them at risk where they're going to be dealing with the public in confrontational situations. Hospitals are confrontational. You know, a lot of times you have to evict family out of the hospital. You have to enforce the curfew. You have to enforce visitation. You have to enforce parking. There are auto break-ins, domestics. There's a lot of things that happen on the property, just like a shopping mall. I would not want to place an 85-year-old man on patrol in a mall, even though he might be a kind, gently old man who is friendly with everyone and people love his friendliness, because that is a type of property where there's going to be some criminal activity. There's going to be some criminal element, and there's a good possibility, I mean a good possibility, that someone that age can be injured. So what do we do? Do we limit the age limitations for security people, for guards, for security companies to hire? I don't know. Send me an email if you have any idea what should be done. Radio@privateofficer.com. Or you can call me live right now at 347-426-3807. Area code 347-426-3807. I really would like to hear from you. I know there's a lot of listeners out there. I'm not on air talking to myself, but I can tell by the emails that we get. And so please become involved in the conversation. Maybe most of you are at work right now and you're going to listen later on to the on-demand version. I'm not sure. But older security officers are a concern to me. I'm concerned about their safety. I'm concerned that their employer may be taking advantage of them. How is that possible, Rick, you ask? How does an employer take advantage of an older security person as opposed to a younger? Well, most security, older security people are working, they are collecting Social Security or some other retirement form, and they are working limited hours for a limited hourly rate. And sometimes an employer may hire just those people, just the senior type people, because they can be paid a little bit less than maybe you and I might require. We may be more demanding on our salaries and wages, whereas a retired person just wants to get out of the house, just wants something to do, just wants a little extra spending money that he's, you know, not going to tell his wife about. Most people on Social Security can only work a limited amount of hours each year, make a limited amount of money. So he's not going to be so demanding on his wages. He's just happy to have a job. He's just happy to be active. He's just happy to feel like he's part of the working community again. And he's just happy to be, you know, out of the house. So if you're an employer and you're listening today, I ask you not to take advantage of our senior people. I ask you not to place them in the more dangerous properties. If you have apartments, condominiums, shopping centers, malls, hospitals, other facilities where there's ever been a propensity for criminal activity, burglaries, auto thefts, fights, gang activity, please don't put them on those properties. You are putting them in harm's way, knowing that they're probably going to be injured or worse yet, killed in the line of duty. I'm asking you not to do that. Put them in a more safer environment, maybe an office building, maybe a manufacturing facility where they are on access control, checking people in and out. Put them in an environment where it's not going to be physically demanding or challenging on them, where they don't have to walk a lot. Even if they are in the best of health, even if they have no medical conditions, to put them on any other type of property would be asking for something serious to happen to them. So please consider that when thinking about where to assign those type of security personnel. If you have, you know, an opinion, chime in now. Call me live, 1-347-426-3807. Very quickly, we touched a couple of times on our memorial benevolent services. If you are injured in the line of duty, you can go to our website. We do have some assistance for you. If you know of a security officer who has been killed in the line of duty, we ask you to get involved and let us know. But, you know, it's not all about money. If you have no money to donate, please donate your time. Be an ambassador for the Private Officer International and the security industry. Right now, we're looking for ambassadors all across the country. who will reach out and go to the funeral of somebody who's injured, or who will befriend a security officer who is injured, or go to a funeral of someone who's been killed in the line of duty, assist the family in any way that you can. And that's something that our chapters will be getting more involved in as we begin to open our regional chapters. If you are interested in becoming involved in a chapter, if you want to be a chapter manager, if you want a chapter to open in your neighborhood, then write us at admin assist@privateofficer.com. Go to our website right now, privateofficer.com. You can sign up to become a member. There's a ton of benefits. I don't have the time today to go through them all, but you will not be disappointed in all that you get for such a little amount each year. We'd like to give you a couple of addresses. If you'd like to follow us, stay in touch with us, you can go to Facebook and get us there. Become a fan at privateofficer.com. Facebook, privateofficer.com. Join us right now on our own social network, our own forums. You can network with security officers all over the world at privateofficer.ning.com. Privateofficer.ning.com. That's growing. We have hundreds of conversations, topics going on right now, dozens of groups, a lot of great training, networking, and information being exchanged on that site. You can also follow us at Twitter, Private Officer, Twitter at Private Officer. We have discontinued using that for a while, but we have begun recently again, and we will continue to use that. So if you'd like to get some news updates or updates about us, Private Officer, you can follow us at Private Officer on Twitter. You can email us if you have general questions, admin assist@privateofficer.com. You can also follow our news blog. Every day we update the news, security and law enforcement, at privateofficernews@wordpress.com. privateofficernews@wordpress.com. And if you're interested in the news around the world, security news that is, you can go read us at securityworldnews@wordpress.com. securityworldnews@wordpress.com. We're almost out of time. It's hard to believe. We are going to be lengthening our shows beginning Sunday. We're going to be adding more time to our shows as this becomes more and more popular. This is our radio show is really a great outreach, a great network working tool. It's a great way to communicate and keep up with everything that's happening here at Private Officer, as we have a lot going on. If you have joined us today, or if you are listening on demand, we're glad that you have. We're glad that you are. We're glad that you're with us. We invite you every day to be with us, every Wednesday and Sunday, that is, at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Central Time. And every show will be a lot of information. Every show will be a lot of news. Every show will be interesting. We'll always have something going on that involves you, the private officer. If you ever have any questions, please don't hesitate to email us at admin assist@privateofficer.com. Be sure to join us Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the close quarter shooting segment, and we have a great show lined up Sunday. Well, our time today is just about over, and again, we'd like to thank you for being part of this show, and we invite you to join Private Officer International. Become a member if you're not already at privateofficer.com. $35 a year for membership will get you a ton of benefits, including discounts on training, discounts on hotel and auto, discounts on seminars, a free will, and so much more. You really won't believe how many services and benefits is offered to our members. Go to private office. www.thewinterhasbeenhorrendous.com and join today. Thank you for being here, and we hope to see you again on Sunday. Be safe.